There are voices, there are people, and we're all happy to see each other. Nobody is unhappy today. Is anybody unhappy today? We'll pray for you if that's the case. We're very grateful to have everybody here, especially the Belfast Church. Do we have anybody from Londonderry here today? We invited them. Do we have anybody from Coleraine here today? Welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much for coming, and I hope you enjoy yourselves. And we trust that it's going to be a very good time for us and that the Lord will bless us. Before we start, we're going to say a word of prayer, and then Kerry and Carol will sing some songs with us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it is such a privilege to be able to worship you with a group of believers from all over Northern Ireland, that we can come to experience what it means to stand firm in you. And I pray that today will be a very special blessing. I pray for Pastor Adam as he preaches, and I pray that our day will be a day that glorifies you. We pray in your name. Amen.
Just before Carol and Kerry lead out in our songs, I just want to bring the local church some announcements that we're having in the coming week. And guess what starts tonight? Something you've been all looking for to in gathering. Yes, and I'm looking for some volunteer to go out with Pastor Veers tonight to show him how to in gather. So and don't all stand up at the one time because I'd never be able to see you all, but if somebody, just one person, would volunteer tonight to come see me afterwards to go in gathering pubbing with Pastor Veers tonight, I would appreciate that. Pathfinders Club is on tomorrow, Sunday, from 10:30 to 12:30. And this week has been highlighted by the Youth of Prayer Week. And it's lovely to see so many youth here today. It's a real, real joy. And you're all welcome to afterwards for a bite to eat, the young people. And you have a program in the afternoon. And then I think you have later on this evening, you're going bowling, I think. So just have a blessed and happy time together today. The other thing I wanted to announce is our evangelistic program. The evangelism team has, and the church have invited Pastor Robert Vine to do a set of programs, lectures to us, on starting on Friday, the 17th of April. And it will start at 7 p.m. So if you look in the bulletin or in the past bulletin, it has been changed. And then we will have Sabbath as usual services, and then we will finish up on Sunday and the 19th at 5 p.m. So if you bear that in mind for the evangelism in starting on the 17th of April, and that we will all support, because I think it will be very interesting, a time that we can get, I'm not sure, to meet the Lord as well. Thank you very much for your attention, and the rest of the announcements you can just look in your bulletin. Thank you.
Welcome everybody. Our first song is This Is My Father's World, and we're going to sing the first and last verse, and it should be coming up on the screen now.
This is my father.
The second song we're going to sing this morning is Such Love. It's the first and last verse, but it'll be on the screen so you can follow there. Decided to follow Jesus. Blessed Sabbath with us here today.
I just want to read you one verse of scripture taken from Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense, my refuge in the day of my troubles. What a beautiful verse, scripture. And now comes the time when we can worship the Lord in prayer. And I invite you to kneel where possible as we speak to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father. Father, what a privilege to come in on this Sabbath day to give you worship and glory, to lift up Jesus in songs, in words from Scripture, and words from your holy word. Father, we thank you that you have given us such a beautiful world in which we live in. We can see the spring is coming, Lord, and we can see all the buds on the trees. It reminds us of the wonderful love that you have for us. Father, this morning, we thank you for sending Jesus. He came to this world. He died a death that we deserved. Father, we are so thankful that you took our place, that you died for us, so that each one of us may have eternal life by just accepting that free gift. Father, we want to tell you this morning that we love you. We long for the day, Lord, when you will come in the clouds of heaven, and that you are going to come for as many people as possible, Lord, who will accept you as their personal Saviour. I pray especially, Lord, for the children that are in our congregation this morning. Lord, I ask that you will lead them, that you will give the parents wisdom from on high, Lord, and that they will ever remember that these children are children of the Heavenly King. Father, this morning, as we look apart on our congregation, it's so wonderful to see so many young people here. Father, again we ask that you will put a hedge around each one of them, Lord, and that you will keep the evil one from snatching them away. Father, we ask above all that we have humility in our lives, Lord, as we come to serve each other and serve you. Father, we think of over the past week. I'm sure, Lord, there's things that we have said and done that would be better not to have been said and done. But Lord, we just take now a few moments and we ponder our own lives as we ask forgiveness of our sins. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ which covers each one of us this morning. And Father, you have taught us a wonderful prayer. And we're going to say that prayer together this morning as we close our morning prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And Pastor Adam Kehoe is going to tell us the children, our children's story. So children, come to the front. I don't know which side you want to get, Pastor Adam, but...
Right. Good morning. Oh my, good morning. You have a good week? Yes? Okay, all right. Now, I have a few things that I want to show you that are in this box this morning. right. Firstly, oops. That wasn't meant to happen. They're all over the bottom of this. Now, what are these? Pins. Okay. Now, I have something else in here, if I can just find it. What would happen? What would be the easiest thing to do? And I don't know if I should do it, because I might stand on one of them later. What would be the easiest thing to happen is if you were carrying along these and... you kind of tripped over and they went all over the place. How would be the easiest way to pick them up? Has anybody got any idea? Yeah? Ah, okay, a magnet. All right. Now, I found this magnet in my toolbox. two magnets here. Right, I don't know. I think one's North Pole and one's South Pole or something like this. Let me see if they pick them up. All right, okay. Very good. Oh, you can get a lot of drawing pins on that magnet, can't you? Oh, no. I can see we're going to have an insurance claim. Someone's got loads of holes in their trainers. Right. Now, let's see what else I've got in here that a magnet might be able to pick up. Right. Aha. Scissors. Do you think this magnet might be able to pick up these scissors? Yeah? Okay, let's try. I hope these are metal. Hey! Okay, all right, very good. Right, what else have we got in here? Giant paper clips. Yes, they're metal. Very good. Have you ever seen a giant paperclip this size before? This is a massive, massive, massive paperclip. Right, do you think they would pick up these? Yeah? Let's put a few on the ground and find out, shall we? Oh yes, very good. They can pick up those easily. Right, what else have we got in here? Right. Aha. Here's one. Oh no, here's a couple of other things. Right, what are these used for? These are used for clipping bits of paper together, aren't they? Do you think the magnet might pick up these? Yeah? Let's try. Oh, that's very easy. Okay. Now, one last thing. What's this? Stapler. Okay. Now, this is a little bit heavy. Do you think the magnet will pick up this? Should we try? Okay. Let's get the second magnet ready just in case, shall we? In case it doesn't work with one, we'll see if it works with two. Right. You think it's going to work with one? Oh, no, just about. You think it's going to work with two? Hey. Okay. Ooh! Okay, all right. Now, do you know what today's theme is? Does anybody know what the theme for today is? It's called Standing Firm. Okay, Standing Firm. Now, the reason I got these magnets for you today and picked up all these things with the magnets is magnets can be very, I don't know, what's the biggest, who's seen a big, really, really big magnet? What's the biggest magnet size you've seen? Yeah, what's the biggest, has anybody seen a magnet like this big before? Have you got one at home or anything? No? Have you ever seen magnets this big before? Yeah? Have you ever seen one of these big digger type things and it's got a big, I think it's a big magnet on the end of it, on the big arm, and it'll move like that, and it'll just, and then it'll pick up all like the scrap metal and things, and it'll move it from one place to another. You can get all different types of magnets, and of course, some of the bigger magnets are obviously stronger than the smaller magnets. But the reason I wanted to demonstrate this to you today is today we're looking at this idea of standing firm, okay? And you know what Jesus says, and I've got the text written down somewhere, but I haven't got the piece of paper here. Here I have it, just here. Now I want someone to read. This scripture is taken from John chapter 12 and verse 32, okay? And this is what it says in John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus is saying these words. He says, "But when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself." And he doesn't just mean men there, he means boys, girls, men and women. You see, Jesus, when he was on the cross, in a sense, he was like a magnet, because what does a magnet do? It draws things to itself because of its power. And you see, the only way that you can stand firm in life is when you stand and sit at the foot of the cross and when you look at Jesus. And when you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, then you will be able to stand firm in life. Okay? And we're going to look a little bit more at this later on during the talk. Okay? So now you can go back to your seats. And if there's any more things, don't stand up.
Now we invite the deacons to come forward for our tithe and offerings. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that you have given the ability for us to be able to work and earn money, Lord. And we can return our tithes and offerings to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would bless it, that you will multiply it, and that many more souls will be won for your kingdom in this part of the vineyard. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And the girls are going to enhance us more this morning by giving us a special item of some of their songs.
The song we're going to sing this morning is Be There My Vision.
True.
Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Thank you for that lovely music. Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here with you today. Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we ask that as we open up your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would be here with us, young and old, that we may see you lifted up before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start this morning by showing you a clip. Some of you may have seen this film before. I hope you... Hold on. I hope that you can actually see it on the screen. If not, hopefully you can hear the words a little bit, what's happening. This is the clips are just just under 2 minutes. You may have seen the film before. It's called Braveheart. Braveheart, just to give you a kind of little synopsis about what it's about. It's based on a true story, and it's about a guy called William Wallace. And William Wallace was a peasant. And you see, the English were going to come and invade Scotland, and the nobility had basically got paid off by the English. And William Wallace, a peasant, he managed to rally the people to stand up against the English invaders. And you'll notice in the clip how William Wallace has all these peasants around him, and they're standing firm as the English march and race towards them. Okay, shall we have the clip?
See? Every Scot with a horse is fleeing. Our cavalry will ride them down like grass. Send the horse. Full attack. Thank you.
want to see what happens with the rest of it, you'll have to get it out on DVD. You may have heard the words that... What's the actor called? Mel Gibson. Okay. Are you sure? Yeah? Okay. You may have heard the words that Mel Gibson was calling, rally call that he was calling his troops. As the troops were coming towards them, what was he calling out? Hold, hold, hold. He was calling his troops to stand firm. One by one, if you can imagine the scene, one by one, as the people stood there, as they mingled around, they suddenly stopped and they began to look up. They strained to try and hear the noise. What was it? They could see, they couldn't see anything. They couldn't see what this noise was, but they listened intently, trying to make out what the noise was that they heard in the distance. And one by one, if you had have been there, you would have seen the faces, shall we say, lighten up, although they didn't really lighten up. Because one by one, the people began to realize what this noise was. Slowly, as they recognized this noise, horror began to show on their faces. They thought they had got away. But suddenly, in the distance, they could see this rising cloud. This rising cloud of dust that accompanied this great noise. They could not yet see the people or what was creating this enormous dust cloud. But they heard the noise that went with it. And suddenly, as the army grew closer and closer and closer, they could see what was creating such an enormous cloud of dust. What was it? Chariots. Hundreds of them. Horsemen. Thousands of them. Foot soldiers, tens of thousands of them. And in the evening sun, as the sun began to sweat, you could see the sweat, as the sun began to set, should I say, you could see the sweat running down the people's faces as they realized what was happening. They knew that their time had come. What should they do? Run? Run where? Behind them was the Red Sea. To the left and to the right were mountains. And in front of them, coming right towards them, was this army. Run? Run where? What should they do? Stand and fight? Yes, the Bible tells us that the people left Egypt with prepared for battle. But they were no match, this group of people, for this huge army, this well-equipped and well-trained Egyptian army that was galloping towards them. They knew that the chariots would run straight through them. Stand and fight? What should they do? What would you have done with that army coming towards you? Well, the Bible actually tells us what they did. Does anyone know what they did? Any idea what they did? These Israelites, as the Egyptians came towards them? No? They complained. They knew... They did what they were best at doing. You know, the Israelites, in every circumstance, they seemed to know how to complain. And they complained. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 14 as we pick up this story. Exodus chapter 14, we're going to read verses 10 to 12. And then we're going to read verse 13. And as we come to verse 13, we'll get it on the screen. Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through to 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Can you just flick down the first slide, please? This is verse 13, and I have it on the screen for those of you who haven't got your Bibles open. Moses answered the people's complaint. He said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never, ever see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." I want you to remember this verse. So I want us to try and read it together, because this is an important verse. Okay, so we're going to try and read this verse 13 together. After three. One, two, three.
Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
And as the night began to close in, and as the sound of this Egyptian army began to get closer and closer and closer to the people, something happened. You see, there was a cloud that had been leading them. And this cloud began to move. And the people were supposed to be following this cloud. And so the people began to think it was time to move. But Moses raised up his hand and he pointed in the opposite direction from which the cloud was going, and he called, "Forward to the sea." And you could just hear the whispers in the crowd. "But I thought we were meant to be following the crowd. I thought that was what we were supposed to be doing." Again, just as the people were wondering if they were really supposed to move, Moses called out, "Forward to the sea." And as darkness set in on this sea, the people began to move. How were they to make it to the sea in darkness? They'd never do it because they couldn't see where they were going. And even if they got to the sea safely, where would they go from there? Because in front of them would be the sea, to the side of them to the mountains, and the Egyptian army would still be behind them. Where would they go from there? But then, as if in answer to their cries, this huge cloud suddenly turned to a pillar of fire and stopped. If you had have been there at this scene, you would have seen that the brightness that this fire cloud, shall we say, created was amazing. Because the people gasped. Suddenly their path was lit up to the sea. And not only could they see to the sea, but they could see beyond the sea. They could see to the huge mountains that were the other side of the sea. And again, you could hear people say to each other, if only we were on the other side, we'd be safe. Turn in your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to read a few more verses. We're going to start at verse 19 again. So Exodus chapter 14 and verse 19. Then the angel of the God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also stood in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army, and he threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. Imagine this in a film scene. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 26, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched his hand out over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it for some reason, and the Lord swept them back into the sea. The water flowed back and it covered the chariots and the horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them, the Bible says, survived. Verse 29. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. And so the people escaped. So what's the point of recalling this story to you this morning? And what does it actually have to do with this idea of the theme that we're looking at today? Stand firm, if you'd like to push the next slide on for me, Stephen. Thank you. What does it have to do with this idea of standing firm? Well, very, very quickly, we have two references to standing firm. If you look at verse 13 again in your Bibles, you'll see that when Moses answered the people, he says, "Do not be afraid, stand firm." And then if you've got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 8. And in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 8, we see when the Israelites get to the other side and when they're safe, they sing a song of praise to God. And this is part of this song of praise, verse 8. I love the description of it here. "By the blast of your nostrils," the people are singing, "the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea." So in verse 13, we have the idea of standing firm. God told the people to stand firm. And in Exodus chapter 15, we actually have what happened to the waters. As the waters were blown back, they stood firm like brick walls so that the Israelites could walk, go through. But looking at verse 13 of Exodus 14, God told them to stand firm. What did he actually mean when he said stand firm? Well, at first glance, when you think of the word standing firm, you might think of something like we looked at in the Sabbath school today, of a firm foundation, or actually just physically remaining in that place. Like we saw in our video clip, where William Wallace was calling the people to stand firm as the army approached. What he meant in that situation is he meant stand there, do not move, brace yourselves. But what does it mean here in this text? Because look what Moses, the Lord says to the people in verse 15. As soon as he said stand firm, he then says the following words. Tell the Israelites to move on. So obviously he's not telling the Israelites just to stand there, as we saw in the film clip. Obviously God is not saying, if you stand here and do not move, you will see a miracle happen today. No, that's not the kind of standing firm that we're talking about here. So what did God mean when he said, stand firm? Has anybody got any ideas what he meant when he said, stand firm? No? Well, look towards the end of the chapter in chapter 14. The clue comes at the end of the chapter. Because remember, while these walls stood physically firm, these walls of water, while they stood physically firm on the left and on the right, and while the people moved through to the other side, what was the point of this miracle? Look at verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they did what? They put their trust in him and in his servant Moses. So you see, this was the point of the miracle. And this is what it means where God or Moses was saying to the people, stand firm. When you see this massive Israelite army approaching, the chariots, the horsemen, and the troops, when you see them approaching, stand firm in your faith. Remember what had happened only a few days and weeks before. God had come and he'd done all these amazing miraculous signs. He'd caused these 10 plagues. You remember the frogs, the darkness, the gnats, all these 10 plagues. And he brought the people out of Egypt. And God was basically saying to the people here, do you really think that after I'd done all these miracles to bring you out of slavery to where you are now, do you really, 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 really think I'm going to let you down now? Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in your faith. In your trust that God in that situation will protect you from the army that is approaching. You know, in the New Testament, this word, and this week as I was looking at this, I found it amazing how many times the words, this idea, stand firm, is actually found in the Bible. Virtually every New Testament author actually uses these particular words, stand firm. And I want to give you an example. And Stephen, if you could put that onto the next slide, please. This next example is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. And again, I want us to try and read this together off the screen, if we could, please. After three. One, two, three.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Stand firm. Let nothing move you. You know, what Paul does not mean is Paul does not mean that when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, you need to stand rooted to that spot for the rest of your life. He doesn't mean that if you accept Christ as your personal Saviour, when you're standing in the middle of a dangerous road, don't move. Okay? He doesn't mean stand firm like that. He means stand firm in your faith, in your trust in God, that whatever circumstance you find yourself in, God will be there with you. Never give up on your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. You know, we are all called to stand firm. No matter whether you're 2 years old or 20 years old, no matter whether you're 5 years old or 50 years old, no matter whether you're 8 years old or 80 years old, we can all stand firm, and we're all called to stand firm in our own faith that God has given us at that moment in time. But this needs to relate to us. In our film, we saw that there was an enemy coming towards William Wallace and his group of fighters. In the story of the Egyptians, we know that there's this Egyptian army, this enemy that was coming towards the Israelites. So who is our enemy that we need to stand firm against? And this is where I want to close this morning. I want you to look at our last scripture passage. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would like to turn there in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 to you. But beginning with verse 8. Peter writes these words. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil. You see, this is who our enemy is. Our enemy isn't the English. Well, some of you may think our enemy is the English. Our enemy isn't the English like it was for William Wallace. It isn't the Egyptians. Our enemy is the devil. Your enemy, the devil, what does he do? He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And what does this mean here? What this means here is that the devil, you see, is working to try and tear down your faith. He's trying in your life, no matter what age you are, no matter whether you're 5 or 50 or 70 or 20 years old, the devil is prowling round and his angels are trying to devour you. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to distrust God instead of trust God. He's trying to break your faith in God, in the Word of God, and that God is your personal Saviour. The devil is prowling round like a roaring lion. But look at the advice in verse 9 that Peter gives to the church, the people of the New Testament, us, that he is writing to. Verse 9, Peter says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You know, each one of us, the devil is attacking in different ways. And sometimes we may not realize even that the devil is attacking us. We may not realize that he is attacking our faith in the Bible and our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But the devil is prowling round like a roaring lion, trying to devour that faith that every single one of us has. So how do we stand firm today? We must stand firm and put things into practice in our life so that our faith in God as our personal Savior will never, ever be lost. So that whatever circumstance we find ourselves, whether it's the death and the massacre of our family, like we saw that plane crash in America, we heard of it maybe in the news this week, where that small plane died and basically the whole family was just about wiped out. No matter what situations we find ourselves in life, how do we stand firm? And so this morning, I want to encourage you to do two things to help yourself stand firm. And these two things can be done by every single person here, no matter what age you are. And God, through these two things, will help you stand firm. The first is this. The second is this. The first is prayer. God wants you, whatever circumstances you find yourself in life, to come to Him and to say, Lord, I don't feel as if I can manage to stand firm in my faith. But Lord, give me the strength and the power to stand firm. And as you open up your Bible daily, you will also find that as you read the scriptures and as you spend that time with God, no matter what age you are, He will give you the strength to meet the life's challenges that life throws at you. So today, my prayer is that no matter what age you are, young and old, we will all stand firm in what? Our faith. So that one day we will be in the heavenly kingdom together and be able to rejoice there. Well, there'll be no more devil, there'll be no more problems. So stand for our brothers and sisters. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor and Brother, for a wonderful, wonderful message this morning. It was absolutely beautiful, thrilling. And now just to close our sermon, our service today, Carol and Carrie are just going to do a closing song for us.
We decided for our last hymn today that would be How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measures, That He Should Give His Only Son to Make a Wretch His Treasure.
Thank you.
We know that in our own lives it is often hard to stand firm. Because, Lord, we often have a faith that wavers. We often have a prayer life that wavers and falls. And we often do not spend enough time with you in your word. But Lord, please help us in our own lives to realize the importance of standing firm. And Lord, to put you in the place you really want to be in our lives. So that, Lord, our lives may be led as people who stand firm in the trust and the belief that you are our Saviour. This is our prayer. Keep us firm to this end, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, the day is not finished yet. If you're a young person, you've got an opportunity to stay with us for lunch. If you brought the young people to come, please stay over for something to eat. And after that, in this afternoon, we're going to have an amazing race. We're going to divide in teams and we're going to race around this church and this congregation looking for clues to find our foundations that will help us to stand firm. So it's an amazing race to find our foundations that will help us to stand firm. So please remain if you're a young person and enjoy the rest of the day with us. Thank you very much for being with us.